Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles. I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. Did you know that since 2000, ownership of real estate has outperformed the stock market nearly 2 times? It makes sense. We all need a place to live, and businesses need a place to do business. In today's episode, we're talking to Samson Jagoraz about the power of real estate as an investment and the number one investment your financial advisor isn't telling you, why bigger real estate is better and more attainable than single-family homes. Ooh, I can't wait for this one.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Come to Game, where we flip the script on the old-school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
Welcome, welcome, friend. This episode is all about a different side of investing in real estate. So I want you to channel all your HGTV real estate love into learning about bigger real estate. I'm talking multifamily. According to Samson, hands down, there is no better asset class for building wealth than real estate. However, building wealth through real estate is not very passive by nature. So how do you do it? How do you build wealth in real estate without having to be on the clock 24/7? That's where Samson, founder of Growth View Properties, comes in. He's sharing how to get started investing in real estate with a small amount of money, how to invest smartly, yes to this, and the difference between buying a house and investing passively in real estate while still making bank. So excited to share this conversation with you. I'm Shauna Compton Game. This is Millennial Money. Samson, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us.
You are so welcome. I'm really excited to be here as a fellow millennial to share any and all knowledge and wisdom that I can bring to your audience. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, I have so much that I want to talk to you about and pick your brain on. And we're talking about real estate investing. And it's a topic that I've done quite a lot on the show. The show's been around for over 6 years. So obviously we've talked about real estate investing, but everybody who comes on has like a little different niche or maybe some secrets that you've learned that you can really impart in us. And then I think a lot of the listeners are really interested in real estate. I think there's still kind of a little bit of a fear when it comes to investing in real estate, but you say that real estate really needs to be like a key part of our investment portfolio. Can we unpack that a little bit? Like, why is real estate so important?
Well, for me, you know, things that I choose to invest in long term just come down to basic human needs. You know, if we just talk about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, food, shelter, and water. You know, at the end of the day, historically speaking, real estate has held up exceptionally well during economic downturns, other than 2008. And that was, you know, mainly because it was that housing crash was specifically driven by bad lending practices. So, you know, when you own something that is a fundamental need, when stuff hits the fan and there's an economic downturn, people are going to do everything in their power to make sure that they can keep the lights on and keep a roof over their head. Nobody actually needs a Tesla. Nobody actually, you know, needs whatever it may be, Zoom stock or anything like that. Nobody actually needs that. And so at the end of the day, where I put my money long term is in things that just, you know, serve fundamental needs and drive safe and consistent cash flow. Because if you look at net of the wealth that was built in real estate, you know, the majority of it, 80%, comes from cash flow. It's not off appreciation. So when you're buying things that generate cash flow and can effectively pay for themselves, well, that affords you a whole different sense of time freedom and just, I guess, wealth freedom in general that you don't really get with stocks. You don't really get with bonds. You know, you're getting some dividends, but a lot of times your money's locked up. And so you just can't act on the time element, the time freedom that comes along with cash flow, you know, not having to have a job.
Yeah. And cash flow is really interesting because it's obviously something, I mean, we all need money to pay for things. I mean, that's how we live. That's why we go to work. But the cash flow part of real estate investing, I think, is really interesting because the conversation is typically around appreciation. Like, right, you know, you bought your house for $200,000. Could you sell it for $300,000 or $350,000? Like, oh, great. In however many years, I got that much appreciation. Why do you think that we don't talk as much about that cash flow piece? Like, that seems to be the secret around real estate investing, is just creating that cash flow.
You know, I think it's funny when people go to, because I'm also a commercial real estate broker. So, you know, I talk with people who are thinking about selling their property. I go, okay, let's just say I wrote you a check tomorrow for $4 million. What are you going to do with it? They're like, well, I don't really know. So most people don't actually know how much money they need to retire. They just think about this giant number. Like, I got $1 million check. $1 million, if you really think about it, you know, only lasts you like 10 years if you're, you know, living off of, say, $100,000 a year, which is a pretty healthy income. You know, Robert Kiyosaki says it best, wealth is how long you can go without working. And so to me, having consistent cash flow coming in every single month is key. So I think about it in terms of net worth. Like, I'm a net worth multimillionaire. And how much can I leverage that money to make me more money to, you know, pay my overhead costs? Because at the end of the day, like, I'm chasing time. I want more time with my family. I want more time to contribute into my community and my church. And if I just have to keep going back and, you know, I make a bunch of money and then I spend it all and I have to go do it again, well, that doesn't give me my time back. And so, yeah, to answer your question, it's just people don't have a concept of how much income they actually need. They just think about it horizontally, not necessarily vertically. If I have $200 coming in over here and $500 over there and $5,000 over there, pretty soon that adds up to a pretty healthy, you know, salary. And the median household income in the United States is like $57,000, $58,000 a year. So, you know, most people would kill to have $58,000 a year of cash flow coming in.
Yeah, definitely. I like that idea of thinking about it in buckets too, that some here, some there. I think that's like a really good visual of the cash flow. And you talked about how real estate is obviously we need to live in a house. And so there's always going to be a need for real estate. I was really kind of interesting as a spectator to stand back last year and to watch. I wasn't sure, were people going to really like flee into houses? Was that market really going to pop, or were people going to be more cautious with their money? And people went out and they sold houses and bought bigger houses and moved to different states and cities. What sort of trends did you see in real estate last year, or maybe that you're still seeing?
Well, the residential market was on fire. It's still on fire. On the commercial multifamily side, you know, we didn't see a lot of deals trading hands last year. We saw about 150 deals that we really, you know, paid attention to from the underwriting side. You know, we've seen about 200 opportunities just in the first quarter of this year in terms of deal flow coming through our desk.
Wow.
So it's definitely moving more. You can't even really compare the two, because the residential market is really driven by retail buyers and retail investors who are thinking more notionally. You know, the other day I saw a house that was closed $100,000 over the asking price.
I believe it.
So it'll never appraise, right, for the value. So as long as we continue to live in this, we'll call it printed money environment, fiat currency, where we just continually print more and more money, our dollar is going to be getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And the Federal Reserve has put themselves in a position where they can't do anything other than just keep interest rates where they're at. Because if they raise them, the whole thing kind of falls apart. And so, you know, rates will continue to be very, very low, but the byproduct of cheap money is there's lots and lots of cash, lots and lots of leverage. And so every email that I get from a residential lender is like, you can afford more now than you ever could, you know? And it's like, oh my gosh. So it's a zero sum game. You know, as an investor, the investor side of me is always thinking about, you know, what can go wrong, will go wrong, and how do you plan for that? And so that's how you just be a good investor, a good steward of your money, is you're always just preparing for winter. And, you know, back in 2018, we sold our big house, downsized to a townhome, repositioned ourselves with some cash. And for 2 years, everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. Like, why would you move out of your house and move into a townhome? I was like, because winter's coming. They're like, things are so good. We're in the largest expansion since World War II. Unemployment's at 2.89%. Like, what are you talking about? And I was like, well, just look at history, right? It doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it tends to rhyme. And historically speaking, every 8 to 10 years in our current, you know, paper money society, the market corrects. That's just what happens. But we just keep kicking the can down the road with government intervention. So, you know, those are the things that we're thinking about, is making sure we're buying stuff that cash flows from day one, making sure we're buying properties that can pay for themselves in some sort of economic downturn. You know, scale is actually a way to do that. The more doors that you have on a singular property, the more efficiently the property is going to be able to run, and the more vacancy you can withstand.
Yeah. So I want to walk through some of the differences. So obviously we understand residential real estate. We buy a house, we live in it, or maybe we rent it out, whatever that might be. But when we're talking about investing in real estate or multifamily or commercial, what are we looking at? Like, how does that look different than if we just went out and bought a house that we rented out?
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to the valuation, but just the operational efficiencies that come on with having more doors. You know, so if I have one house and I have a renter in there and they decide to leave, well, it's 100% vacant. Right. If I have 100 units and 20 people decide to leave, well, it's still 80% occupied. And so that type of scale allows you to just withstand any kind of economic turmoil. You know, vacancy is probably the second biggest risk beyond the economy that you can't really control. And so with, you know, larger apartment complexes where you have more doors, not only are you protected from vacancy, but you're also operationally more efficient, because I can hire professional third-party property management. I can have on-site leasing staff, on-site maintenance technicians. My marketing becomes more scalable. Obviously, just utilities become more scalable. I mean, it's just net-net, it's just all around more scalability. And if, you know, anybody's a business owner, you being included, you just understand the power of scale. It's incredibly valuable.
Yeah. And so Are there certain, like, let's say somebody listening, we want to get into this type of real estate investment. Are there money steps we should take to prepare? Do we need a ton of cash to get started in this realm? Like, how does that, what does that look like?
You know, I think it starts probably a few steps before that. When people talk to me about wanting to get into real estate or wanting to invest in real estate, I ask them a fundamental question. Are you interested in being an active real estate professional, meaning somebody who's running a real estate investing business, or are you simply interested in investing in real estate, you know, getting all the benefits that come along with it, but none of the brain damage? So I think it starts there. You know, if you're going to be successful in investing in real estate, you got to be prepared to go and start a business. That's just the way that it goes. The people that you, real estate gets a bad rap because you hear people say stuff like, well, do you really want to go fix toilets at 2 a.m.? Do you really want to deal with tenants who don't want to get out? And it's like, well, those are just bad business decisions, right? Because you decided not to do the proactive maintenance on your property. That's why you're dealing with the tenant toilet clogging at 2 a.m. Because you didn't do a good job in your screening process by putting a tenant in there. Like, that's why you're dealing with a bad tenant. And sure, you can do only so much to try to, you know, protect some of that stuff. And sometimes crazy stuff's going to happen. But if you're not prepared to treat it like a business, man, you're going to have a very, very hard time. So once you kind of decide on which side of the fence you want to be, then that kind of makes your decisions a little bit easier. You know, if you want to just all the benefits that come along with owning real estate, well, man, no time like the present. There's never been a better time in history to invest passively with, you know, very sophisticated, active investors and get all the benefits that come along with owning real estate without any of the brain damage.
What are some of the ways to go about that?
So being a passive limited partner inside of a syndicated multifamily real estate deal is one of the ways that you can do it. There's lots of great groups out there. Our group is one of the groups that does that. And so under the SEC code, there's a specific exemption known as Regulation D, and it allows unlicensed professionals who are meaning not securities licensed to actually raise capital for their own deals in order to syndicate real estate. It's also known as what's called a private security. But there's also shops out there that offer securitized passive investing where you can work with a licensed security or licensed broker dealer and actually place capital with them in deals that they've vetted and screened with sponsors that they've vetted and screened in order to get access to real estate. So that'd probably be the first way. Now you asked me a question, which was, you know, how much money do we need to set aside or how much money do we need to invest? You know, the answer is really, you don't need any. There's at the end of the day, you need three things to get a deal done. You need knowledge, you need a hustle or a team, and you need capital. And generally, money is the weakest hand in the deal. You know, you can have a ton of money, and there's lots of money out there for people who want to invest in our deals. But you need me and the deal and the deal maker to actually have something to invest into.
Right.
And so money really flows to knowledge. It doesn't just flow to a good deal, but it flows to knowledge and a person who can put together a good deal. And then from there, going and getting the money is really not that complicated. And so if you just think about how any transaction ultimately works is, you know, we're market makers effectively, you know, just like when your roof leaks, you call a roofer, you know, they have an invaluable service that you can't necessarily do on your own. And so no different when people want to get access to syndicated multifamily deals, you know, we have the great deal. We have the great team. We raised all the rest of the capital and the debt, and then you just get to participate.
Yeah. I like that. So use the experts for what the experts do. Don't try to YouTube your way.
Yeah. I mean, unless you want to really go be an active investor, but that's a whole different, you know, again, you got to decide on whether or not you want to be an active investor. And it's a whole another level when you get up to the syndicated real estate level, because you're just not dealing with one person. You're dealing with potentially hundreds of investors who are all counting on you to be a good steward of their money.
The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/ETM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial.
Whatever you're saving up for, a CD from Sandy Spring Bank lets you grow your savings at a guaranteed rate. Right now, earn interest at 4.5% APY on an 8-month CD special or 4.25% APY on a 14-month CD special. Learn more at sandyspringbank.com/cdspecials. Minimum opening deposit to earn the annual percentage yield is $500 for the 8-month CD special and $2,500 for the 14-month CD special. Member FDIC.
All right, so are your real estate investing wheels turning? I know mine are. Let's jump back in and learn more from Samson. Here we go. So then what's the difference between like multifamily investing versus like commercial properties? Like, is there a difference in cash flow or how you approach those two different types of real estate investing?
So you'd be referring to like office space or retail space or something like that? It's the same but different. You know, most large commercial multifamily, which, you know, anything new, once you start getting over about 70 units, you're getting into the large commercial multifamily space. Most of it is valued off of what's known as the capitalization rate, where you're just looking at the net operating income of the business and comparing that to the price of the property to kind of determine whether or not it makes sense compared to the market. So it's the same when it comes to the numbers, for sure. It's a little bit different when you get into like commercial retail space or flex space or industrial, how those properties are leased. You know, you're working with a different tenant base in a warehouse than you are with somebody trying to rent an apartment unit from you. So the leases are structured much differently. Let's say I have a warehouse space and I put a tenant in there, they're going to sign a 10-year lease. It's likely going to be triple net, meaning they're going to pay the taxes, they're going to pay the utilities, they're going to take care of all the maintenance. And really, as the property owner, I'm just making sure that the common area maintenance is getting paid for. So the benefits of that is you get great long-term tenants, you're going to sign long-term leases, and a lot of the maintenance cost that comes along with the property is not your burden. The drawback to that is, you know, like we've seen, I think, with office space in the last year, nobody actually needs to be in the office anymore to effectively run their business.
Which is so great. I'm so happy we got to this point, but geez, finally, I'm so sad it took a pandemic to get there.
So I think that, you know, in terms of trends and shifts, you asked me this a couple questions ago, and I didn't really answer that, but, you know, we're moving to an untethered life. It's becoming an untethered economy. And so at this juncture, you know, if I can go somewhere and have an insane quality of life, my money goes 10 times farther, maybe because I moved somewhere in the Midwest, but I'm still making six figures plus working for a technology company. And on top of that, I can, you know, pop around from one location to the next whenever I want. And when I come back to my home base, I get to live in this really baller pad. You know, why wouldn't you do that? So as the next 10 years progress, we're going to just see a lot of shifting and remote work and people kind of making the decision to live in a place where they can get a lot more bang for their buck. And then on, you know, on the lower end of that, people who can't afford are going to be moving somewhere where they can afford. So I think what you're seeing right now is you're just going to see a mass migration into the middle of the US, where it's, you know, some of the most affordable cost of living in the entire country.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me. And I'm so happy we got to this point. I hope it lasts. I'm super curious, how did you get into real estate investing? How did you make your first sort of entry into this world?
Well, see, investing in general. So I have a non-traditional path. I went to school, studied physiology, and thought I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon, but trying to play college football and maintain the grades that I needed to get into med school didn't quite line up. But that's okay. I think I would have actually been very unhappy as a doctor. I'm just so outgoing and love people. And so as I was approaching graduation, I had an opportunity to join a futures and commodities brokerage. And so for those who don't know what that is, basically a licensed Series 3 broker. And we sold and traded things like gold and crude oil and cows and pigs and corn and soybean and whatnot. And on September 29th, 2008, about approximately 3 months into my career as a newly crowned licensed futures and commodities broker, the Dow Jones fell 777 points in a single day. And I watched the blood in the streets. I had customers that just, you know, got obliterated in that event. But what I did notice is my customers that continually made money were not speculators, meaning they actually were physical producers. They were pig farmers, gold and silver sellers, crude oil producers. That's because they were using the market to hedge their bet. They weren't using the market and just trading price alone. So that's when this idea of, man, you got to own stuff to really be successful. You got to have assets.
Right.
Kind of crept in. And then I was newly married and we were buying our first house a couple of years after. That was about 2011. And so I knew that I just didn't really want to be in stocks long term. I didn't really want to be in leveraged futures, that's for sure. And I just started studying. You know, there's like five ways people get into real estate. You're born into it. You spend 7 to 10 years working in an industry related to it, maybe as an agent or a broker or maybe an underwriter or a lender, or you just go bang your head against the wall and figure out, or you find a mentor. So I started with studying and learning and then getting out there and banging my head against the wall. And then, you know, having 7 to 10 years of just real estate investing, you know, when I wanted to scale up to the next level and really start to syndicate real estate, I went and found a mentor. And found somebody who had already done it, because success leaves clues. And it was just very important to me to make sure that I was working with the best people who already had systems in place and financial models already built, that I could follow in their footsteps if I was going to be, you know, taking other people's money in order to go and put together deals.
So are there any other like insider secrets or lessons that you've learned kind of along the way that you can share with us, so maybe we don't have to bang our heads on the wall quite as much?
Yes. The number one mistake that every real estate investor makes when they're new is confirmation bias. You need to be 100% certain about, number one, why you want to be in a certain market. And then number two, you have to make sure that you stick to your financial model. It's very easy, especially when you put a lot of time into underwriting a deal, to really start to convince yourself why it's a good deal, or, you know, maybe get a little soft on your projections. It's always better to underpromise and overdeliver for yourself as well when you get into it. So that's the first thing, is you really have to fight that and have like a written business plan. And when you get to scale, what we use is we just use a financial model, and we have access to just insane amounts of data to tell us what's actually happening in the market, so that we make sure that we're not paying above market for stuff. And then the other part of that is just the value of a partnership. I mean, gosh, you know, there's in any real estate team, you need somebody that can find the deal. You need somebody that can make the deal viable. You need somebody that can get the deal over the line. You need somebody to bring the money or raise the money, and you need somebody to sell it on the back end. So you might have one of those skills, you know, and you might need to go backfill with the rest. Or you might, you know, be the deal finder and you partner with somebody who's got more experience and they cut you in on the deal. So there's just a lot of different ways that you can make it happen and get started or invest in real estate without actually having to have all the money in order to do it. And so, yeah, partnerships and confirmation bias.
I like that. Yeah. Big fan of partnership, because you're right. There's no way that one person knows all of those or has all those strengths and can pull it all together. And so I can definitely see when we're talking about real estate investing, like having a partnership is, I would imagine, kind of your secret weapon.
100%. But I mean, the example of the partnership in our multifamily business, Growth View Properties, is my partner who does all the financial modeling and underwriting. Went to school for it, number one. Number two, he's a commercial loan originator. So he literally underwrites for a living. That's his job. So when it comes to financial modeling, I'm very competent and can do it and understand it. But I don't know if I'm ever going to be like that level good.
Right.
It's also just not my personality. You know, my personality is to get out there and meet with brokers and find deals and create teams and build strategy and process and systems. And then, you know, raise capital. Those are things that I'm very good at. Those are the gifts that God gave me. So lean into my strengths has definitely been a big part of it.
How hard is it to find multifamily investment deals? Like, I would imagine it's more of a search than obviously buying residential real estate.
Yeah. You know, the hard part is there's not like a MLS system in commercial real estate. Brokers ultimately control the market, and a lot of stuff never actually goes fully to market. You know, a lot of times you're making relationships with brokers who have been working with these customers for 10, 15, 20 years. They've helped them buy a bunch of properties. Those properties are now coming full cycle and getting ready to go to the market. So you got to know the broker, and the broker has to believe that your team can execute, your team can close, that they can bring the money, not only because it's obviously their customer, but number two, a lot of these sales cycles can be 6, 7, 8 months. And so as a broker, you don't get paid until the deal closes. So the broker cares about one thing ultimately, which is, can you close? And so, yeah, it's just spending a lot of time doing that. And then there's lots of good data. I mean, property ownership is that information is pretty much readily available, but there's some good platforms out there now that we leverage that allow us to see who the ownership group is, how many properties they might have in their total portfolio, and then it's just picking up the phone and calling them. It's the stuff that it's not very sexy or glamorous. There's not like that part is relationship based, you know, and you just got to pick up the phone and call.
Yeah, it's so fascinating and interesting for me even to learn about this type of real estate investing. And it's definitely a very unique niche, and you definitely need people that know what they're doing. So I would love for you to tell everyone who's listening, if they're interested, how they could connect with you, learn more about this, and really understand the process that you go through.
Yeah, 100%. The first step is, if you're interested in passive investing, you know, the appeal there is you can get the same, if not better, returns by passively investing into larger assets that drive safer and more consistent returns. The first step is you just got to get educated on how the game is played. A lot of people, once they decide that passive investing is the right path for them, they have a lot of uncertainty because they just don't understand the jargon. They don't understand who the players are, how the game comes together, how we raise money or capital, how everybody gets paid. Some of it's not knowing what questions to ask. So if you head over to passiveinvesting.pro, I've put together a course which is known as the Passive Investor Power Playbook, that really, one, gives you all the background information about how the industry works, and then two, an actionable framework that you can leverage to go and analyze any passive investment, whether it's with us or with, you know, some other group.
That is amazing. I love that. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge. This has been so, like I said, just very insightful. So thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
I have to tell you, after working with high net worth individuals for more than 10 years, the common denominator was that they invested in real estate. Sure, they had a nice house, but it really wasn't about that for them. They wanted to invest in real estate and earn income, grow wealth, you name it. So I'm really excited about this idea of investing in real estate without having to unclog toilets and change light bulbs. That's the kind of investing I like. So if you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with friends, family members, anybody who you know is really interested in investing in real estate. As always, you can head to the show notes for all the links to the episode guest and episode sponsors. Be sure to follow Millennial Money Podcast in any podcast player you're listening to so you never miss an episode. I'll see you back here in a few days for a new one.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com. Well, you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days for the fresh new episode.